Welcome to How to Ruin Your Own Reputation, the show where I talk to people who either have unusual jobs or are living lives that can be stigmatized or criticized. As always, I like to bring a different perspective to controversial topics. Today, I'm talking to Casey Donatello, also known as @hotwifelife869 on OnlyFans. For anyone who doesn't know, OnlyFans is a social media platform where content creators charge subscribers for private kind of content. It's estimated that 70% of the content is not safe for work, but I'm going to speculate that more than that is triple X rated when we're talking about Casey. As well as being an adult content creator, Casey is also the author of 3 memoirs where she talks about her journey going from a shy Catholic girl to a happily married hot wife vixen. Today, we're going to talk about why she finds OnlyFans to be really empowering. So we're going to dive right in. So I want to say first, full disclosure, that when we first spoke initially, you had said that you didn't show your face, that you did interviews anonymously, but here you are showing yourself. So I want to know what changed.
Well, so it's interesting. So just to be clear, on my OnlyFans, my face has been there, but it's pretty much only been there. So subscribers could see me, but on social media, you know, Instagram and stuff, I was going faceless and interviews and stuff. I just felt, I don't know, a little more comfortable. And, you know, it's very different putting your face out on social media versus a private platform where people are specifically looking for you and stuff like that. But recently, it was actually my husband said to me, like, why aren't you putting your face out there? What's the big deal? And it's interesting because even though it's my face and, you know, me, because we're married, I feel like there is still a responsibility to my husband to maintain whatever we agree upon. I don't want to do something that he isn't happy with, but he seems to be the one that's even more, you know, pushing me out there than I am on my own. So since he said it was okay, we had a long talk about it. He said, if you're going to do this, then just go 100%. So I actually just launched my own website as of today. So by the time this airs, it will be out. So my face is all over there. So we decided I'm going to start putting it on social media and interviews because there's just no stopping it at this point. So
I think you do get to that point. I think I've learned from myself that once you break that barrier of telling a few secrets and exposing, no pun intended, or maybe pun intended, yourself, then it makes it easier, sort of the floodgates open. And you're kind of like, if you're going to judge me a little bit, here's everything.
Well, it's funny that you say that because when I first made the OnlyFans account, we had this long talk about how is it going to go? Are we going to use faces, not use faces, use masks? You know, what's the vibe going to be? And he said it was totally up to me, but I was a little, I guess, nervous and shy still. So when we first started, I was wearing like a partial mask, which is, looking back, it's so stupid because if you knew me, you would recognize me. But just like, it made me have some sense of like protection against all of this. And it was only maybe a month or so before I went to my husband. I said, you know what? Do you mind if I lose the mask? Like, I'm really over this already. And he was like, that was really quick. And I said, yeah, I don't know. I'm just really more comfortable than I thought I'd be. And it just seems weird if I'm telling people I'm out there to be covering my face, you know, it just didn't make sense in my head anymore. And I guess now, like, officially, it's just going to be out in the open with everything. And it does feel really good. It feels really nice. And a lot of this also goes back to, too, like, when I was single, I had all this fear of doing these things because then what guy is going to want to date me if they know I'm doing all this? But now that I'm married to someone that doesn't give a shit and he actually is super supportive of it, it's so much easier to just like be like, fuck it, I don't care. Because if he doesn't care, then, you know, what am I holding on to anymore?
Whose idea was it?
For the OnlyFans?
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to say. Like during COVID, when OnlyFans was like really becoming like a household name and getting popular, we had discussions here and there. One of us would joke, oh, I should do that. Or other people would say, you should do that. And we didn't take it very seriously. It also just didn't feel like the right time for me or for us as a couple, you know, what we were up to. And then when I turned 40 last year, I just kind of revisited it and I asked him, I said, what would you think if I seriously wanted to do it? He said, go for it. You know, there really wasn't much of a discussion. It was more of how are we going to do it, not are we going to do it.
And you do stuff together too, right? It's not just you on there. And so explain what your content is so people understand.
For people that don't know what hot wifing is, so my husband shares me with other men. So that is a very big part of my content. All my content is 100% real. It's like raw home footage. So when we go on play dates, we film. So I show that. I show intimate stuff with me and my husband alone. And then I do solo stuff. And I get very creative. I do like themed holiday things. I just have a really fun time with it. It's not like scripted. I don't think it's a typical porn site. It's like, I look at it more as the visual accompaniment to my writing, because this is what I write about. So now people that have been reading my books get to see, like, you know, what it's actually like in person, I guess. And it's been really interesting because I thought all guys were going to be my fans, but I have a lot of couples actually that join, and they tell me that either they're trying to get into the lifestyle, or they're in the lifestyle and they really relate to us. And people like to see that there's like a happy couple living in the lifestyle and doing the things they want to do. And we don't have the shame around it and we get along. We're not doing it to fix things, you know. So people actually respond well when I post videos of us together, like before and after dates and us like, you know, reliving the moments or talking about it. It's like that intimate stuff. And originally we said we weren't going to post that. That was like a boundary we had. But then that went out the window too, you know, because rules are meant to be broken. So the more comfortable you get, the more you start pushing limits and things just become like more natural and fun. So now pretty much nothing is off limits. We don't film every single thing we do. We try to have like that balance because it also, even though we're not scripting, we're just setting up a camera, you're still aware that like you need a good angle, you know. And it does mess with you a little bit sometimes, especially when it's just the two of us, because you're trying to have that connection. When we're on a date, my husband does all the filming, so it's a lot easier. And because we don't script stuff and we get lost in the moment, I post things as they are filmed. So sometimes like you drop the camera's upside down, it's shaking, like you're really in the moment with us. I don't do a lot of editing. The most I do is take other people's faces out for privacy reasons. But otherwise, like you hear us like laughing and talking and joking around, you know, I want it to be as real as it can be. And I don't want it anything ever to be fake or people think this is not like a true representation of us. And also the longer I've been on there 5 months now. And in the beginning, I was a little kind of like shy and hesitant. And now I am so wacky and like quirky on there. Like, I don't give a shit anymore. I think that's why people like me, because I'm just like myself. I don't filter things. Another thing that's really interesting about OnlyFans is that for me, like you said, this is empowering for me. This could be like humiliating to somebody else, right? Mm-hmm. It's how we interpret things. So putting your body out there and all of this sex stuff, it could be amazing or it could be your worst fucking nightmare. And I remember a long time ago, this was my worst nightmare, even though I've always had this like dream of being in Playboy or being a fetish model. I also had at the same time, this little voice inside me saying like, no, you can't do this. The world is not going to accept you. You're going to be labeled like all these negative things. I used to never film any dates that I had. Even with like boyfriends, you're afraid when you break up, if they have that naked photo of you, right. What are they going to do with it? So you have all this like things telling you, no, you can't post naked pictures of yourself. Right. But then the fact that I was the one that decided to put them out there, it changed everything for me because now the power was mine. And I think that small little detail is like the key to the power right there. When someone does that for you, it's so violating and disturbing. But when you're like, no, this is okay. Like I made this choice. Then it just completely changed how I felt about myself. And I like being in control of everything. So it works for me.
Well, I always say that you can't be shamed for something that you're not ashamed of. So that's when somebody is doing it to you, it's different. But when you're saying it, you're putting it out there. So if someone says to you, oh my God, did you hear Casey? Yeah, I know. I put it out there. You know exactly about it because I put it out there. So you can't shame me with that. And one thing you said that I find so interesting too, is you're talking about how you don't edit and sometimes the camera falls. But listen, sex is messy and it's not super flattering all the time. And I think that I could imagine that that would be part of the draw, is that people know that. So when you're watching old school porn and everything is so perfect, people know that that's bullshit. So when they're seeing real bodies in sort of unflattering angles, there's something that's very hot about that because it's relatable. And I think that seeing that is almost liberating for the person who's watching. And I'll say also that we've done a lot of shows on this podcast about non-traditional relationships. And they seem so taboo, but I will tell you that every time we air one, I will always have messages from somebody saying, okay, I just want to tell you that my husband and I are going on a date. Or I just want to tell you that I've always wanted. It's so much more out there than people realize. Or at least there are a lot of people who would like to do it, Absolutely. Even if they can't. So the more people are open about it, I think it will become less, it's got to become less stigmatized. And it should, because well, people it already, want it.
Yeah, it's already a little more normal than it used to be, but we still have a long way to go. But even going back a second, like, it's empowering, like, emotionally and all these things, but it's also empowering just for, like, your self-image. And I know you're a self-image coach, right? Like, I love my body. I'm really confident. I've never been ashamed of my body. But again, it's society making you feel ashamed, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. no matter what you look like, just for being nude and naked in general, right? So when I started in the lifestyle, that was very liberating for me. Then I went to a nude beach one day and I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. And now me and my husband go nude camping a lot. So with every little thing you do, you start to get just more and more comfortable and understand that it's okay to be in your natural state, right? And you also learn that it's not about how you look, it's about how you feel and how you view yourself, right? You don't have to be a specific size. You can be any shape and still be beautiful and feel confident. And the thing about nude camping, which was really interesting, because I'm used to being naked. Like, we go on a lot of dates. I've had sex with a lot of strangers, right? But when you're having sex, it's like you're supposed to be naked, right? That's part of it. It's expected. When you're out camping and, you know, we started playing like tennis and bike riding naked, your body's in very interesting positions now, right? That are not quote unquote like perfect looking. Even when you're standing straight, you look gorgeous. Now you're bent over. It's horrible. And you have to really learn to let that go, because there is a difference, like being confident when you're trying to be sexy versus just being confident when you're doing like normal activities. So that really instilled this like new confidence that I had. And OnlyFans is just like the final step in that, because again, now you get me just like this. Like, I don't wear makeup. I don't look any different in my videos. I, you know, film us and when I'm in my pajamas, my hair's a mess. Like, I don't care. You're getting real life and you're seeing my body in weird positions. And when we have sex a long time, my face gets really red. And I used to be so embarrassed. Like, how can I post that video? And then I'm like, well, they're seeing that if
nobody's looking at nobody's looking.
You know what I mean?
Your face and criticizing
your own head.
And, yeah, for sure.
But just like to actually see yourself, see how other people see you, and be okay with it. That's, I think, where the empowerment comes also, because like I don't care. Like, I'm getting a little bit of gray hair. Don't care. Not dying it. Like, you know, just be okay with yourself, and I think that is very attractive to other people.
You know, we had a nudist couple on, Matt and Laura, that we just fell in love with and became good friends with. And they talk a lot about same thing, like Laura struggled with body image stuff. And then she got into the whole nudist thing and how empowering that is. And now she speaks at nudist campground things. And there is something that's really amazing about being able to be comfortable in your own skin. It's like you said, it's not about how you look to other people. It's how you feel about your body. And I think we struggle with that so much. And I'm laughing because I when you're talking about being at the campground, and I went to a nudist campground once and was playing tennis. And it's like, it's so weird. It's so awkward. But everybody was so comfortable. And we're so not used to that. We're so not used to seeing people with different shaped bodies feeling comfortable. And we know so many people who have quote unquote sort of stereotypical fit, beautiful bodies who aren't comfortable. So it's interesting how the nudist lifestyle, which isn't sexual, but then also an OnlyFans, which is sexual most of the time, how it can be seen as empowering, even though there's so much stigma. And what I find also interesting as I was researching it, there are 170 million users on OnlyFans. That's a lot of people. And I didn't really know what it was. And what I also thought was so interesting was it launched in 2016, but it, as you said, it became really popular during the pandemic. I mean, that's when people really started hearing about it. And I mean, now they average 500,000 new users a day. And I was also trying to figure out, is it only sort of porn stuff? But they say it's only 70%. So I don't know what the other...
Well, so OnlyFans is actually for any creator. So you could be a musician, like an artist, but it just got this like stigma for being for sex-related stuff that kind of overtook, and that's what made it popular. But you don't have to have adult content on there, you know?
I'll just say this one thing that I thought was very interesting was back in August of 2021, there was a bit of an outcry about the porn aspect of it. And people were saying that it was dangerous and that it could involve minors and sex trafficking and things like that. And so OnlyFans put out something saying that they were going to restrict and limit some of the content. And it lasted a few months.
Yeah,
and,
I read
and
all
then
that.
They took that back because they said there were too many people complaining, and they said it just wasn't fair for the expression and the contents. And, I mean, I guess you can only monitor the internet so much. I mean, there's only so much you can do with anything. What I do find interesting is that in order to view videos, even if you don't subscribe, you still have to give your email. You still have to do that. And it's funny because I had read recently, somebody had said that the internet should be like that. Like for any platform, you should have, because people are so brazen when they're anonymous. So for anything, you should have to give that information. So I do think it's an interesting thing that if you do want to watch, you do want to be involved, you do want to say something, you have to say who you are, give a little bit of who you are. Yep. So I did find that kind of surprising and interesting.
Another thing I would like to say about like the empowerment part of OnlyFans, mm-hmm. for me personally, is I think your motivation and your reason for doing things really comes into play. I think when you know people think about like the porn industry and sex and stuff, there are a lot. I'm going to talk about women because I am a woman, but obviously this could be any gender or it can go beyond. But there is this thing where a lot of women get into this for the wrong reasons. Mm-hmm. Either they're desperate for money, or someone's forced, like coercing them, or it's coming from a negative place. And I think that really says a lot about what's going to happen. I come from more of like a pure place. Like I really enjoy this. I'm like all about this. I make money from doing it, but I just wanted to do it for myself. You know, the money is like a benefit. But I think if you're using your body in a way out of like a desperate means of something, I think you might not always feel as empowered. That might have a different effect on a person. Two people could do the same action, but their minds can be in such different places that the outcome and the effect on them emotionally will be very, very different. So just because I'm saying this makes me feel empowered, I'm not saying this is going to make everybody feel empowered, and not everybody is meant to do this. And I just like to make that clear, you know?
No, that's a really important distinction to make, because I think that if you're doing it because it gives you pleasure, that's one thing. If you're doing it seeking validation from others, that's dangerous, because then that expression, if you give people the power to feed you, give people the power to starve you. And that's the same thing. If you have somebody on who needs the validation and then they don't get it, or that can lead to something dangerous. And I relate to what you're saying, because I've spoken openly about my situation many years ago in my relationship and how I was shared, let's say, and it wasn't a great situation, but I was seeking validation. I was seeking the acceptance. I never felt worthy as a person or physically in any way. And so I needed that validation. That wasn't a healthy situation to be in. But if you're coming at it from a different place, then yes. And that's something that is so individualized, which is why anything that has a sexual stigma to it, it does have to be taken on a situation by situation basis. So I think it is important that you're saying that. But tell me more about your relationship and how was it always non-traditional?
I met my husband in a threesome. So yes, you can say that.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
There you go.
We were both in the lifestyle for a while. And then we had a mutual friend that set us up for a threesome. And then it wasn't supposed to be anything more than a one night of fun. And, you know, it's been several years that we're together. We've been married over a year now. So we definitely knew going into our relationship that we were not going to be traditional. We didn't know what form that would be or what it would look like exactly. But we did settle on stag vixen in the hot wife coupling dynamic. And it's worked really well for us. We don't have kids. So I feel like we have a lot of freedom to do whatever we want. We have a playroom in our house. So, you know, we are just not built for like a non-sexual atmosphere. It's in our blood, you know, and it's nice that we found each other because in all of my writing, my books, that was my main thing. Like, how do I be this really liberated woman and find a guy that is going to allow me to be liberated? Because everybody wanted to just like lock me down and stop me. So it took a very long time and I was going to give up when I happened to meet him. So it worked out well. And that's why people seem to respond to us well, saying like, wow, it does work. But I also preached, we met in the lifestyle, but that didn't make it any easier to have a relationship. You know, we both had a lot of baggage, vanilla and lifestyle baggage. And it takes a lot of communication and it's ongoing communication. Just because you solve one problem and move forward, like you have to talk about everything. We talk after every single date, even though we've been, you know, together for so long, because things can change at any point and you really need to make sure you guys are solid or any crack is going to start just like magnifying underneath, you know, being non-monogamous. It's just going to happen. And we didn't do this to save a relationship. We just do this as something in addition. And if we didn't have the lifestyle, it might be a little more boring, but we would still be fine together. You know, it doesn't, we don't rely on the lifestyle. We take breaks when we think we need to take a break. It's not, I'm a little hesitant of people that do this like fix relationship. It's like having a baby to fix a relationship. It's
never
it might
a good
work
idea
for a little bit, but eventually it's going to crumble. And it's also not an excuse to cheat. We always play together. We do have rules. I think there's another misinformation about people in the lifestyle that you just do whatever you want all the time. And that is not true. You know, everybody has their own rules, their own limitations, what they're comfortable with. And that is something that has to just be discussed constantly because you never know when it's going to change.
Is he as open as you are? I would think he would have to be because A, he's on camera with you, but then you're also open about your identity now. So is he, does it impede him in any way with his friends, his family, his work?
No, it hasn't. I am definitely like, this is my thing. You know, he's my husband, so he gets sucked into it here and there. But it's primarily you're seeing me. And from my point of view, all the writing is me. So he's slowly getting pulled in a little bit. But this is definitely not something that is his career path. He has his own thing going on, but he's super supportive and he helps me with whatever I need. When we first started the OnlyFans, we had the discussion, like, when people find out, what are we going to say? What are we going to do? How are we going to handle it? It's been 5 months. Nothing has happened yet. Will it one day? Probably. But as of right now, there's been no explosion of anything. I've never been, you know, asked by somebody we know. People that we are in the lifestyle know that we're doing this. Friends and family don't, but they also don't know we're in the lifestyle. But it's not about being secretive. It's just no one's business, because it's like, who's telling their family about their sex life? Like, that's just
right. And if they're on it and they see you, yeah. And if they say, hey, I saw you guys are doing a gangbang, I don't know. It's like, why were you watching? So it's kind of
exactly. It's not something we're like spreading around, but if people find out, then we're not going to lie about it at this point. We're in our 40s. Like, there's no need to lie about anything anymore, you know?
Do you think that there's a freedom with that? Because I know that I certainly became a lot more comfortable with myself and opening up about who I am and trying new things, hitting my 50s. So I think that there is something, especially with women, again, I'll speak for myself, But there is sort of a thing where you do, as you age, we lose more and more fucks until we have zero fucks left. And we are comfortable just saying, this is me. And I'm not going to change or hide or kind of hide in the shadows or dim myself down because you don't accept it. I think obviously you've taken it to to a different level. But do you think this is something you would have been able to do in your 30s, let's say?
So that's an interesting question, because I think for me, a lot of it does revolve around the fact that I have a partner that is so supportive of this. If I met him in my 30s, then maybe doing it on my own seemed really scary. But having somebody by your side, because when you share a secret with somebody, it makes the secret easier and like more exciting now instead of scary, and you're not so like alone. So for me, I think it has somebody to do with somebody that I can trust and bounce stuff off of. And I know he's not going to leave me because I'm doing this versus just me out in the world, like trying to navigate this. But there's so many days where he comes home from work and I'm just like crying on the couch because I just taught myself how to build a website. Like, I don't know how to build a website, but I decided I should do this. So along with OnlyFans, it's not that I'm just posting pictures on the internet. Now I'm a photographer, I'm an editor, I'm a website builder. I'm trying to blend it with my book. So I feel more of like a business owner and entrepreneur than just like some porn girl, you know? So I've developed all these skills and I'm pushing myself to new levels of education that I was not expecting. And I'm one of those people, when I get stressed out, I just cry to let the stress go. So he'll come home, I'm crying, and he's like, what's wrong? And I'm like, I can't figure out how to get this like thing on the website. And I'm like a mess. And he goes, well, you know, it's okay if the website isn't up tomorrow, like you have time. So I'm really hard on myself, and I always have been. I'm like my own worst critic in life, which I think a lot of people are. So if it takes someone a month to do something, I give myself a week. And if I don't make it in a week, then I think I'm a failure. So I drive myself absolutely insane. And I have really bad OCD when I'm working on a project. I don't sleep. I get insomnia. Like I just live like and breathe whatever I'm doing. And I try not to do that so much, but it's just my personality. And it's such a big flaw, but I also think it helps me succeed at things. So it's like a double-edged sword for me. So just having somebody that can hug me and be like, it's okay, like just take a breath, I will help you, or we'll figure it out tomorrow, I think that's the biggest benefit for me, because by myself I would probably just drive myself absolutely insane.
And it's interesting because you do say a lot in the stuff that I've read about you, you mentioned being happily married, being in a healthy relationship. And there are so many people who will hear the first part of what you said earlier, where he shares you and where you're with a bunch of strangers and he'll be the one that's recording. And there are a lot of people who have a real disconnect with that, who feel like, well, how can he be supportive of her if he's encouraging her to have sex with other men? And sometimes it's multiple men. And I think that is something that's going to be confusing for a lot of people. But that is, again, because people put such an emphasis on control around sex with our partners. And so it does, I think that, as I was saying, I think it does confuse people. But that's why I think conversations like this are important. What would you say are your more popular types of videos?
Well, it's interesting because as me, I'm the creator, I'm the girl, right? But now what I think is really hot, I've learned, is very different than what a guy is thinking, right? Because to me, I'm all about gangbang footage and like multiple guys and stuff. I didn't realize how many guys wanted to see me like masturbate, because to me, I'm like, that's not what I'm going after, you know? So it's really interesting. People are into all different things. But like I said, they really like me being intimate with my husband. And not like hardcore fucking, like making love, like talking about him seeing me with other people, like that part they really get into, because I think that's a really big fantasy that so many people have and they haven't had success. Or we get so many fans that are like, I wish my wife would do this. How do I find a girl that will do this? This is my ultimate dream. So seeing that it is a real thing you can achieve and it's not just made up in books and TV and stuff, it it gives people like some sense of hope or something that they can find somebody to do this. So that's really popular. And for me, actually, just going back when you were talking about like healthy marriage and stuff, I grew up with the worst view of marriage. I swore to myself I would never get married because I came from a divorced family. Not just my parents, but like most of the people in my family were either divorced, unhappy. There was a lot of cheating in relationships that I knew. And I was like, marriage is awful. And then you also see in a lot of media, you know, people get married, then they get complacent. They get out of shape. They stop having sex. Like all they do is fight. And I was like, this sounds horrible. I don't want to be married. So when we started dating, he brought up the conversation about marriage. And I was like, oh God, absolutely not. Like I can't, that just sounds like, why can't we just stay together and be happy? But we did get married and our marriage is the complete opposite of what I thought marriage would be. And I'm so happy because it is just like pure fun and excitement. And there's only positive words to describe our marriage. There's nothing that I don't like about it. And we work really hard to keep each other happy and to keep ourselves happy. And I think I wish I saw more of that growing up so that I didn't have this fear of getting married. And I think a big thing too, because we are such sexual people, me and my husband, like we go to see stand-ups a lot and there are always guys talking about, oh, my wife hasn't blown me in 20 years. And like this woman has a, like the wife has a headache. We don't have sex. And we always look at each other and we're like, oh my God, this is not our life at all. We've worked so hard not to be those people. And it is possible, but you have to both want it and both like try for it. It doesn't just happen magically, you know?
I think one thing you said though, that's really important is that you said just a few minutes ago that there are men who will say, oh, how do I find a woman like that? You know, I can't find a woman like that. But here's the thing. Because non-traditional relationships are still somewhat underground, they're like polyamory is more open, but it's not focused on the sexual. We're talking about this kind of thing, like really bringing other people in. It's still sort of on the down low and stigmatized. So the problem with that is that we're not seeing that there are so many people who are involved in different lifestyles. If we did see more of it, then the people who want to find partners to engage in that kind of relationship would be able to find it. The danger is when he is trying to coerce their partner into doing something that they don't want, right? And that's the thing. It's when you really want something. From maybe it's a relationship we're already in, or maybe it's you're going to get into and you want it, they're hesitant or they're not for it, and you're trying to coerce them. That is not a good thing. And there's nothing wrong with someone who isn't interested in that. There's absolutely nothing wrong with someone who likes traditional, because there are plenty of people who do. So I think that the fact that I've learned that it's so open, and I mean, I did the swinging thing many, many, many years ago and did find it to be a more respectful circle of people and community than sort of a traditional. But I think that the more that it comes out, the more that people will find the right relationship. It's forcing one person to be in a relationship that they don't want either way. If you want more of a sexual relationship and your partner does it, you shouldn't force them. The same thing is if you are not a sexual person, but your partner is, I don't think it's fair to hold them back from having a fulfilling sexual part of their life. So it is about finding someone that's right for you. And I wish that people were more honest and open about their desires and communicated better.
I was waiting for a break to say it because we exist. We are out there. There's a lot of platforms now and sites where you can find what you're looking for. But you have to have the courage to look someone in the eye and say, this is what I expect in a relationship. This is what I want. Because what I find is there's a lot of couples out there. Generally speaking, it's couples where the man is coming to us and saying, how do I get my wife to be like you? How do I? And I go, listen, I don't know, because I don't know your wife. Like, have you asked her? Because you have two choices. Either one, she's not into it, or B, two, she's into it, but you don't know that because you never asked her and she doesn't have the courage to tell you either, right? So without that open discussion, which could be really uncomfortable and awkward for everybody, you don't know. But there might be two people out there that are into some kinky shit, but no one is saying it. But if someone brought it up, they'd be like, oh my God, we're both into this. So you have to really decide, how important is this to me? Am I willing to put myself out there and lose the relationship because it's not what I want? Or am I just going to keep it bottled up inside and like be miserable because I'm not getting what I want? Then you also find the people that they don't ask their partner and then they cheat because they assume the partner's not into it, but you don't know that for a fact, right? So there's all these different like complicated elements going on, but it all comes down to honesty for me. And then people go, how do I force my wife? I go, listen, if you're saying coerce, manipulate, force, stop right now because you are done. It's not going to work. Nope. You can have a conversation with her and that's the best advice I can give you. Because this is never going to work. Like you said, if you're forcing someone out of their element, either way, if you're trying to make them vanilla or you're trying to make them not vanilla, it's not going to work. And that's why there's so many different relationship styles right now, right? And we're learning more and more that there's quite a bit of people that are in non-traditional relationships. But the problem is that not everybody's willing to talk about it, right? Because it's still seen as this like inappropriate thing. And you're doing something wrong, but you're really not at the, like, who gives a shit anymore? Like, I don't understand why people are so concerned with what other people are doing. So the more people talk about it, the more you realize, like, people either read my book or listen to an interview and they write to me, they go, oh my God, we feel just like you. We have so much in common. We thought we were the only ones. And I'm like, there are so many of us. You just don't know because people are hiding in the shadows still. And for us now, it's just normal. And we know we're not going to grow out of this. So, you know, like, what's the point of denying it anymore? It's, I don't feel like it's anything to be embarrassed about. You know, we're adults. It's fine.
That's what it comes down to. I always say it's consenting adults. As long as you're talking about consenting adults, then there should be no judgment. And as you said, there are different degrees of non-traditional relationship. It's not either 100% traditional or starting an OnlyFans page. I mean, there's the thing. And one thing that I think, another thing that surprised me was you hear about how people make tons and tons and tons of money on OnlyFans. And I'm not going to ask about that personally for you, not my business. But what I'll say is, you know, you read about how actresses like Bella Thorne, she started an OnlyFans page, and in 24 hours, she made $1 million. But then I was reading that the average creator makes $180 a month.
Yeah,
which
so
is not the same.
Going into it, I was also not like, okay, I'm just going to do this tomorrow. I spent like a month or so researching, reading blogs, watching videos to really understand, because I didn't know what OnlyFans was like actually to use it. I just heard about it. But I like to be prepared for things. So I tried to learn as much. You have to learn how to actually use the platform itself. You know, it was a little complicated. And I was looking up all these, you know, like high profile top earners and what they were doing. And I said, okay, that seems like a good game plan. I'm going to go with that. And like a week into it, I said, you know what? I don't think this is me at all. I feel like I'm trying to replicate somebody else's strategy. And for me, I have one subscription price. I post every day with no paywalls. Like, I post what I want. You get everything. Because some people post like a teaser and then you have to pay for the rest of it. Yeah. But I don't believe in doing that. Like, I'm an exhibitionist. I feel like you came to my site that I invited you to. So you're going to get the joy of like having whatever I have to show. Like, I feel like it takes away from my pleasure if I'm like nickeling and diming people to like see my content. Like, but again, that's not wrong for other people. But the motivation that I have does not support that business plan. And in the first few months, I was in the top 5% already. So, and I've gone beyond that. I'm not making millions, but I'm doing like much better than your average person. And I think a lot of it goes to, I'm just being myself and it's different. I try to make my site like really creative and like interactive and fun. And, you know, sometimes I see posts and it says, oh, like, if you want pictures, like message me, my assistant will get back to you. You know, I answer every fucking message myself. I do everything. So like, you're actually communicating with me, not some like other person behind the scenes. And I think when people get to a certain level, it's overwhelming and they need help on their site. So I think the personal touch also helps because you really are talking to who you think you're talking to, you know, there's no like false thing going on with me.
Have you ever had anything scary happen?
On OnlyFans, no. I have to say it has been so wonderful. Everybody on the site has been so sweet and positive. Obviously, you have some people that subscribe and like don't talk. And then you have people that talk to you all the time. There's different layers. But I have not had anything negative or offensive or rude, because I did read a lot about, oh, guys are assholes. They want this. They want that. They want to like take advantage of you. I haven't had anything like that at all. I don't know if it's luck or if it's how I run my page. Like, I have absolutely no idea.
I would worry about maybe like stalking or somebody who would, because you're so real, because it's you. I think people, I see it on just regular social media, people feel like they really know you. And that would be my concern, is that people feel like they have a relationship with you.
No, the only thing that happens is like, I'll go on a podcast and then my Instagram blows up the next day with guys wanting to fuck me. Like, that's like the most, I'm just like, oh, here we go again. Okay.
Yeah, you get that on regular social media. Yeah. Even if you're not on OnlyFans, by being a woman.
Yeah, yeah. It just heightens it though. There's like an influx when something airs, but it's just like the normal everyday bullshit, but nothing specifically related to OnlyFans or like I said, it's been a really great experience for me so far. It's been 5 months, so hopefully it stays this way. But, you know,
is there anything that you're on the horizon, something that you're thinking that you want to try, something you haven't tried yet, something you're talking about with your husband about trying?
Well, we recently did a major bucket list thing. Last month, we went to an adult theater and had this like public gangbang there. And we're actually going back for my 41st birthday in a couple of days to film our first like DVD there. So we're really excited about that.
So how, explain that. So how does that work? Do you know who's going to be there? Do you know how many? Because you said gangbang. So, how many people were talking?
Yes and no. So it's a public space. So we post on all the sites we're on. So we know some of the people going, but then there's random people there also. But it's kind of just like a chaotic mess. And you see what happens when you get there. And that's actually, this is another interesting thing too for me. I like OnlyFans because I am in control, right? Not just of what I'm posting, but if I was applying to porn sites and like I wanted to be a fetish model, but I was never like secure enough to do it, you have to deal with that rejection of people saying, no, you're not good enough. You're not, your body type isn't what we want. I don't feel like, I think I'm pretty, but I don't feel like I look like a supermodel, you know? So in the back of your head, you're always like, am I good enough? Will they want me? How many other thousands of girls are applying for this job? They want you to wear a certain thing or behave a certain way or wear makeup maybe and like do your hair. Like, so for OnlyFans, I really get to stay myself. And I don't have somebody telling me like, no, you shouldn't do this. You shouldn't do that. We don't approve of this. It really is 100% my comfort level and what I want to put out there. So I really appreciate that part. And my husband and I have talked in the past about, you know, would I go into mainstream porn? And I'm not saying I wouldn't, but if I got an offer, I would look into it. But I'm not actively seeking that route because I like to have final say over everything that I do. You know, that freedom is what's exciting to me. And I feel like I don't have to deal with that like judgment from someone saying, no, you're not good enough. You don't deserve this role. I get to be the star of my own show without anybody asking me any questions.
So on your 41st birthday, so you're setting up, I'm trying to mm-hmm. understand it. So you tell people where you're going to be at mm-hmm. a certain time, and then people show up. And then,
so when we went in January to this theater, and it's literally a movie theater, but it's an adult theater, and you're allowed to have sex in there. So think like a movie theater that's a swingers club almost. It's like a hybrid kind of. So the top floor is couples only, and then the bottom floor is single male friendly. So obviously that's where we go. And last time we went, we posted it online, and we just showed up, and there was tons of guys there, and we probably played with, I don't know, maybe like 30 guys were there. And this time when we're going back, we're doing an actual film shoot. So, you know, we spoke to the owners. We have like security. We have waivers. We have wristbands. because you need to make sure you check IDs to be in like film and stuff like that. So we're doing like a legit production. So right now there's like 100 people that RSVP'd. Who knows if they're all going to show up, because you know how that goes. But then also there will be people that just happen to be there that don't know I'm coming. So it's going to be.
So how do you screen the men, though, to know that they're safe or that you're not in danger?
In danger of what?
I don't know. Well, health-wise, I guess. I don't know. I mean, you don't.
Well, safety-wise.
Safety-wise,
you're in a public place. There's security. My husband is there. And this is also like something people don't think about. When you play in places where there's a lot of single guys really outnumber the women, right? That's just how it's going to be. So generally speaking, the guys are happy if there's a girl there that wants to play with single guys. So if one guy gets out of line, the other guys are going to get upset because now they risk her leaving. So it really is almost like an interesting dynamic. I'm not saying nothing can go wrong. But if someone starts to be an asshole, like usually the other guys like jump in and like, what are you like? Stop it. What are you doing?
Right.
But, you know, there's a general rule of etiquette. No means no. My husband is there. We set the rules beforehand. And
that's what I was going to ask also. So you can say no. Can you say no to someone there? Or
absolutely. It's my body. And that's another thing that people forget when you're in the lifestyle. I mean, this goes across the board, no matter what you're doing, but especially in the lifestyle. People think just because you're in the lifestyle and you're on a date with somebody that like consent goes out the window. You can stop having sex halfway through sex. Like it doesn't matter to me. When you are not interested anymore, it's your body and you make whatever decision you want. So when you're at a public club like that, people always have to ask permission to touch and or to join or do whatever. And the minute you say no, they need to stop immediately. This is not like, you know, a free-for-all. Like it's still my body, I'm still in control, even if it doesn't look like I'm in control at the moment. And my husband and I always agree on, like, between us what's gonna happen, because when you're playing a group of people, I might not be able to like see my husband or see, you know, so we have to really be on the same page, and he knows what my boundaries are so he can speak up for me. But it takes, you know, I've been doing this a very long time. This isn't my first time like doing this. So it's been years of practice and like perfecting. It's an art form almost, you know, you have to really be like smart, like street smart and like common sense wise. You have to have some lifestyle experience. You have to be really comfortable doing this. You know, not everybody would be okay being surrounded by a group of men like this. That might be horrifying to someone, but for me, it's exciting. But again, I've worked my way up to this. You know, I always tell people, because people, I think having a gangbang seems to be people's like, a lot of women have this fantasy of doing it, but you really need to sit down and say like, A, why do I want to do this? How do I want to do this? There's a lot of logistics and safety that go into it, but you know, things can be done if you do them the right way. And it just takes a lot of like knowledge and experience to do stuff like this sometimes.
Do you have women reaching out to you and asking for advice? Oh, that was one thing. I did post that I'm going to be talking to you. And there was a woman who wants to know, what advice would you give someone who wants to start an OnlyFans page?
Oh my God, that would be like a lot. I do offer advice and stuff. It's like a fee if people reach out to me and stuff. I get women, I get couples, I get guys asking me for advice because I was single. I am a couple. I have a husband that was single. So we've kind of covered every aspect of the lifestyle and now the OnlyFans and stuff. So we do have an extensive plethora of knowledge between the two of us, but that would be like a very long list of advice. Okay. My one sentence though would be, what is your reason for wanting to do it? Like make sure it's a good reason and it's not like a negative reason that you're venturing into this.
That's great advice. And we will put in the show notes your contact information. So if people do want to contact you for more advice at length, then they can do that. So tell people how they can find your books and everything that you're promoting.
Well, as when this airs, my website is up. So caseydonatello.com. That has absolutely everything. And then my Instagram is at inbedwithstrangers.official. So between those two, you should be able to track down anything that you need.
Anything else you want to say before I let you go?
No, I don't think. I think I'm good unless you have any further questions.
No, I appreciate conversations like this. I think it is well-rounded. I think it's not going to be for everyone. I think people will still shake their heads at some things, but I think that we're opening up a discussion that needs to be had. So I appreciate you coming on here and sharing your story.
No problem. Thank you so much,
Casey. Okay, take care. And thank you everyone for watching. And I will see you next week at How to Ruin Your Own Reputation.